The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, before the new Peaky Blinders movie, The Immortal Man, was released earlier this month, the actress Rebecca Ferguson said she didn't need an intimacy coordinator for her sex scene with her leading man, Cillian Murphy. Now, off the back of that, Carol Midgley, writing in The Times UK, has suggested that we should just get rid of sex scenes altogether in movies. She reckons they hold no value. So does she have a point? To discuss this, I'm joined by writer with the Irish Independent, Saoirse Hanley, and columnist Brenda Power, and you're both welcome to the programme. So, Brenda, what's your stance on this? Get rid of the sex scene? What do you think?
Oh, God, I so agree with her. I have never yet seen a sex scene that brought the action any further along, and it's excruciating to watch if you're sitting with your kids or a parent or an elderly relative or anybody else, pretty much. I've never seen one that added anything, and I always feel for the actors, to be honest, that, you know, their teacher is looking at this, their mammy is looking at this, their kids in future will be looking at this. Like, really, do we actually need it? And, you know, when you consider, if this is how you get your jollies, by looking at naked people having sex, there is no end of options for you. I mean, it pops up on your social media whether you're looking for it or not.
But look at look at normal people, though. Did that not add to the plot when you see the awkwardness between them or the beauty between them? Does that not take you further into their story?
It could have seen the beauty without seeing Paul Mescal's todger, to be honest. And I mean, he said people still come up to him and say, I saw your willy. Well, they did, and it hurts him, and it offends him, and it embarrasses him. I mean, it was obviously what was felt to be required. I could have lived
part of the job, isn't it? Part of the job.
It is part of the job, but does it have to be? And that's what she's asking. I have to say, Claire, the single most erotic scene that I can recall from any series or movie that I have ever watched. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch it again. The original Pride and Prejudice, with Colin Firth as Mr. Darcy, and when they leave together, finally married after all the months and episodes of jousting and flirting and circling each other, they get into their car and they drive off on their honeymoon. Nothing they could have shown would have matched my imagination for what they were going to get up to that night.
All implied.
Had they shown every detail of it, it would have been yuck.
Saoirse, Carol writes in her piece today, just bin sex scenes altogether and for good. No one would care aside from a few seedy mouth breathers. What do you think?
Well, I actually have it in my notes because I was reading that and I was thinking to myself, how am I going to give my opinion here without sounding like I'm one of these seedy mouth breathers? If I'm like, yeah, they should all be having sex on telly all the time. But I think, I don't know, when I think about this and when I read about these things, and indeed when sex scenes do come on TV, and there's been so much talk about it in the last few years because of how I suppose, the proliferation of intimacy coordinators and how much it's kind of integrated that industry now and how much we're all talking about it. I think, for me, it's less about getting rid of sex scenes and more about rethinking how and when we do them. I mean, to use Cillian Murphy as an example here again, like, I think back to Oppenheimer and the really weird sex scene with him and Florence Pugh that kind of just felt tonally out of place. It felt weird. It felt like Florence Pugh was really underutilized. The whole thing was just weird. And I just felt like it wasn't particularly needed. But that's not to say that I think that every show ever should do away with their sex scenes, purely because I think Normal People, as you mentioned there, was a very, very good example of it not just being part of the job, but it being part of the story. Like, part of the story they were telling about Connell and Marianne was, and it's also a huge part of the book. We can't forget that either. Like, they're always having sex and Normal People in the book. So I think to take that out of the film version, the TV show version you've made, does reduce that slightly and takes away from that story. Because part of their story is that, like, awkward first time thing, that sex is a huge part of the relationship they have throughout their whole kind of, throughout all of those years. And it's a big thing that brings them together, even if it's as much of a thing that cleaves them apart. But I think when you have it as a tool and in a good way, used in a good way, I think it is still important to the story. I do think sometimes it can be gratuitous. I think, like, you know, everyone talked about Heated Rivalry recently because it was like sex scene after sex scene after sex scene. I saw the first three episodes, and every single time, like, I'm nearly 30 years old and I don't live with my mother, and the whole time I was like, oh my God, my mom is going to come in and see that I'm watching this. Which I do think, to Brenda's point about it being excruciatingly awkward with, you know, a family member around, it is. is, part of me thinks that's a rite of passage. I think you have to know how to navigate this, because sex is as much a part of a life as it is as much as it is part of entertainment. And I think a huge thing for me is that, yes, there are a huge amount of ways that you can learn about sex on the internet. We know that. It's well documented. It's well discussed. It's well talked about. But I think particularly for young women who aren't accessing porn as early an age as young men tend to, the way that they kind of learn about sex and about that kind of relationship does often come through television. I know it was the way for me that the first time I was ever introduced to not sex as a concept, but like as, you know, kind of seeing it like this, was through watching like My Mad Fat Diary when I was 14 years old and someone was having sex on TV or masturbating on TV. And it was like, now you learn and you know what's happening here and you can question that and you can learn about that. I think if a young woman is introduced to all of that via some porn video that's, you know, off the first website they think of and not one they think is, you know, ethical or good or whatever it is, I think that's really damaging. And we've talked about that a lot, that accessing sex education through porn doesn't really work. Uh-huh. And I think,
but then you're assuming that TV and film are going to do it in the way that is exceptional, accepted and educational, and there will be scenes in movies by virtue of the storytelling that will lack consent, you know, that will involve storylines that, you know, occasionally will mirror what people might see in pornography on the internet. So, you know, if you're saying that it can be used as an educational tool, it's not always going to fit what you would want that to be either.
Well, this is true. And I think a big example of that is like Game of Thrones. I mean, Game of Thrones, there's loads of sex in that. I rewatched it recently and barely, I don't think a single one of them was handled well. I don't think a single one of them was handled. And I do think, though, because I do think the culture of intimacy coordinators on sets is changing that slightly, that I think a lot of actors have said there are certainly seasoned actors who did it the old way and don't think that they need these professionals on set. Mm-hmm. But I do think because we have these people that, whose job it is to make sure that A, the actors and also the rest of the set are comfortable, but also by virtue of that, you end up with scenes that are slightly more comfortable for people to watch at home, I think.
Brenda, sex is part of life. Art imitates life, so why shouldn't it be part of what we see on screen?
Well, I think Saoirse has an interesting point there, because I think she's wrong. I think most young women see porn quite early. Young girls see porn, actually hardcore, really dark stuff, quite early on. And, you know, if there is an argument for a well-handled sex scene, it is to show them that actually this is, you know, it's fumbling, it's awkward, it's normal, you know, that there is a normality to it that is not reflected by what you might have been consuming online. So, I mean, that is a good argument. It's just, I don't want to see genitalia. Is that okay? I really don't.
No, that's fine. You're entitled not to. You didn't watch Heated Rivalry then, did you?
I did not, no. And I mean, honestly, hearing that something is going to be graphic would put me off. I don't think I'm particularly prudish, but I just don't want to watch that in my sitting room. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I watched two episodes while I was doing the ironing, Brenda. I nearly burnt the shirts. It was, you know, it was tricky. It was a tricky moment for me. But again, like Saoirse, you're always worried that someone's going to walk in and think, what are you up to?
I know. And this has happened. When my kids were small, I remember they landed in and the middle of one, the only scene in one particular movie we were watching, and they came in and they got up out of bed, and I thought they think that's what we watch all the time. As soon as they leave the room, that's what adults do.
Yeah, but you say, Saoirse, that even that is a rite of passage, is it, that you kind of have to go through that awkwardness with your parents?
I think it's interesting because it is excruciating. It's so awkward. If I can do you one better, when Bridgerton first came out and none of us knew what it was really, and it dropped in like that lockdown Christmas, myself, my mum, my brother, who was then 20, I think he was 20, and his girlfriend at the time, all four of us sat down and watched it together, not knowing what on earth was going to unfold. And it was excruciating. But I do think, like, I remember watching Black Swan with my mom. We must have gotten it from like Extravision or something. And there's a scene, I particularly remember she's in the bath, and I remember actually just getting up to make a cup of tea in the sitting room. My mom laughing at me, being like, oh, you just want the cup of tea right now, is it? It's not because you're trying to leave the room because you don't want to see what's unfolding. I think it's awkward, but also sex can also be awkward. And I do think that when it does create these conversations or avenues for conversation about that, or indeed, to Brenda's point of showing it as being fumbling and weird, if we get rid of sex scenes entirely, then we get rid of even the ones that are very realistic. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is maybe where the tipping point is, because I think a blanket ban is slightly puritanical to completely get rid of them, because again, as you say, it's a reflection of life, art, imitates life, all of these things.
It can be done. Some of them are just bad. Like going back to Carol Midgley today in The Times, she talks about the hilariously bad masked orgy in Eyes Wide Shut. Yeah. That was a Nicole Kidman film. She said, I said back then that it was about as erotic as a Tupperware seconds party in Bury, but now I take this back. These days, the thought of a Tupperware seconds party in Bury excites me very much indeed. Maybe this is an age thing, Brenda, is it? Maybe it's us.
I know. My kids now tell me I'm too young for some of the stuff that they are watching, and that it wouldn't do me any good, and I really should go to bed. So maybe it's the case that it is an age thing. But I don't ever remember feeling comfortable watching graphic sex scenes. And I mean, now we will joke about them and we'll fast forward through them if we can. But I mean, of course, some are worthwhile and do move the plot along, but most of the time they're gratuitous. And also, as I say, you know, Hollywood movies manage to convey the awkwardness, the novelty or whatever of sex without old movies. I'm talking back in the day when apparently it was obligatory for one character to keep a foot on the floor while they were in bed together, which kind of did interfere with, I suppose, the action a little bit. But I mean, I think the suggestion of it is an awful lot more erotic a lot of the time. And most of it does seem gratuitous. And again, I really, really, I feel sorry for actors who have to parade their genitalia on screen.
All right. Well, some of them
even
don't.
Even if it's not really there, it's fairly, some of it is pathetic.
There's that. And some of them also don't mind. And I see, you know, there is a trend amongst the older actors and actresses who are saying, I don't need the intimacy coordinator because I'm well able to speak up for myself. But those people, those coordinators are probably needed for people who are less experienced and maybe less willing to speak about what they feel is acceptable and what they're comfortable with or not. Saoirse Hanley and Brenda Power, thank you very much for being with us. If you want to add to that conversation, the WhatsApp number is 087 1400 106.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.